Good morning, and welcome to the Tecogen First Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on a touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you decide you want to withdraw your question, please press star, then two to remove yourself from the queue. If you should need assistance during the conference, please signal the operator by pressing the star key followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. For your information, this conference is being recorded. Recording of this conference call will be available for playback approximately one hour after the end of the call and will remain available until Thursday, November 17th. Individuals may access the recording by dialing 877-344-7529 from inside the United States and 855-669-9658 from Canada, or 412-317-0088 from outside the United States. Enter the replay conference number 10105269, followed by the pound sign. Now, I would like to introduce Mr. David Garrison, Tecogen's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First, I'd like to start off by reading the Safe Harbor Statement. This presentation includes forward-looking statements within the meaning of Section 27A of the Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Such statements include declarations regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of the company and its management. Prospective investors are cautioned that any such forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve a number of risks and uncertainties that can materially and adversely affect actual results as identified from time to time in the company's SEC filings. Forward-looking statements provided herein as of a specified date and are not hereby reaffirmed or updated. I now hand the call over to John Hastalapoulos, Co-CEO.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to mention to you that Bob Panora, who usually gives us an update on the technology, is not going to be with us today. The reason is quite simple. He was in Asia the past few days, and he arrived from Asia late last night. As you know, some of you that have traveled at different time zones, it's pretty exhausting. Bob is still in bed trying to catch up with his sleep, and you're going to see or hear from him, hopefully, on the next conference call. Now, there is another thing I wanted to mention to you, which is not surprising, but it confirms an article that was written yesterday. It was printed yesterday in The Wall Street Journal by one of our friends and shareholders. Two or three weeks ago, I was approached by one of our shareholders, actually a couple of our shareholders, and said that it's been 10 years since you have owned Tecogen, and how come you haven't succeeded in what you were supposed to do? Well, whoever these people were, and I'm not going to mention any names for obvious reasons, but they were very generous because, in reality, it's been 30 years since Thermo Electron started Tecogen, and Tecogen, for 30 years, got no place. As a matter of fact, we had off and on some subsidies from the gas industry, from the parent company, and so forth, but Tecogen basically stayed flat with a small loss or small profit or whatever. Then we were bought. George, my brother, and I bought the company along with a couple of other shareholders, and we joined our management with two spectacular people, one that was in the company already and one that joined us. Actually, his father was my colleague and helper when I did roadshows, and that is Ben Locke. Ben Locke has done a spectacular job in managing the company and managing the sales. And the second one is Bob Panora, who was a junior when he joined Tecogen and Thermo Electron in the late 70s, early 80s, and he's in charge of technology and innovation. Between these two, they managed to turn the company around, and you saw the results today. The technology and innovation that was created and the sales have been dramatic. As you'll hear from Ben, our operating profit was up something like almost 35% since last year, the same quarter last year, and the combined gross margin was up 25-26%. And all of it is because of sales, technology, and innovation. And by coincidence, one of our very good friends, and actually a shareholder, had an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday under opinion with the headline, "Prepare for a New Super Cycle of Innovation." Well, that's where we are, and Ben will tell you about what's happening with the company. I think this is the beginning of dramatic improvement of Tecogen. With that, I'd like to ask Ben to give you an update.
Thank you, John. So I'd like to start off the call by reminding those who may be new to our company about Tecogen's core business model, shown on slide 4. Heat, power, and cooling that is cheaper, cleaner, and more reliable. Our proprietary technology for improving efficiency, efficiency, and grid resiliency is truly disruptive to the traditional methods of heating, cooling, and powering buildings and infrastructure. And as I've said in previous calls, this is an exciting time for Tecogen and our shareholders. Coming off a tremendously productive 2016 in terms of technology development, sales and marketing improvements, business development activities, and financial performance, the first quarter of 2017 is continuing that trend. Turning to slide 5, total revenues for the first quarter were $6.8 million versus $5.1 million in the first quarter of 2016, a 35% growth quarter over quarter. The main driver for sales in the quarter was cogeneration systems, reinforcing the superior technical performance of our new Inverte E-Plus system. Service revenues also increased dramatically to $4 million, primarily due to strong sales of our turnkey light installation support solutions. Our gross profit for the quarter increased by 70% from the prior year quarter to $2.9 million, a new record for the company, resulting in net income from operations of $78,000. This was helped by impressive gross margins of 42.6% in the quarter versus 33.9% in Q1 of 2016. The higher gross margin reflects our improved product margins through our cost control initiatives and increased margin from our service segment. All of this contributed to the fourth quarter positive net income of around $45,000. This is our third straight quarter of profitability and gets 2017 off to a tremendously promising start. Turning to slide 6, I'd like to spend some time reviewing some of our achievements for the quarter. First, as I mentioned, much of the growth in sales for the quarter was due to the tremendous success of our new and improved flagship product, the Inverte E-Plus. The technical superiority of the product is well recognized by our customers, whether they be engineering companies, ESCOs, or project developers. The product is uniquely suited for large projects with distributed loads. For example, a large residential building complex could have four or five buildings, each with their own thermal load, but behind one large electric meter for the entire complex. A larger CHP unit would have to be installed in a central location with long and expensive runs of pipes and wires to meet each building's needs. However, our inverter is perfectly sized to be placed in each building close to the electrical and heating connections, but from the perspective of the main electric meter for the complex, because of our unique microgrid technology, it looks like one big CHP plant. Thus, the cost-effective solution of the Inverte E+. We have several large projects that fit this model, which is represented in our backlog that I will get to shortly. Next, we are growing our service revenue base through increased sales of our turnkey light installation package. You can think of this as the middle ground between selling a CHP unit alone with somebody else installing it and our full turnkey installation of a CHP system, where Tecogen controls every aspect of the installation and commissioning of the system. The turnkey light package consists of components designed and engineered specifically for the project by Tecogen, built and packaged and shipped from our facility, along with the CHP unit. This allows a third-party contractor, who may already have a relationship with the project, to install the CHP system themselves, but with most of the difficult engineering already done. This has demonstrated to be an excellent way to balance full turnkey installations, which sometimes require significant Tecogen management resources. We think our first quarter performance will continue throughout the year because of the solid groundwork for continued growth we have created. We continue to strengthen our relationships with various energy service companies, or ESCOs. CHP has become an important part of performance contracts ESCOs provide for school systems, municipalities, or other large energy consumers seeking cost-saving measures. Next, we are continuing to grow sales outside of our core product range with our joint venture, TT Cogen. We installed three smaller units thus far, with several more planned. And, of course, we are eagerly anticipating the completion of the American DG Energy acquisition. On April 12th, the SEC declared our Form S-4 in connection with the acquisition effective. Our board of directors have scheduled a special meeting of the shareholders to vote on the transaction for May 18th at 11 a.m. I urge you to read the S-4 for a complete understanding of the benefits of the merger. And finally, we continue to make progress with our Ultera emissions technology in three areas. First, work is progressing to retrofit a fork truck donated by a leading fork truck manufacturer with our Ultera emissions package. And as our February press release indicates, we hired Alan Welsh, an experienced powertrain engineer, to lead the effort. We do not have anything notable yet on this project, but expect updates as the year progresses. Next, activities continue with UltraTech, our joint venture for adapting Tecogen's Ultera emissions technology for automotive applications. We did not do any additional testing during the first quarter, but we presented our automotive test data at the SAE International World Congress in Detroit. The presentation was very well received because of the remarkable performance of Ultera and reducing pollution levels in vehicles. As our earnings press release indicates, this paper can be accessed through our website. To further protect our intellectual property for the emissions technology, two additional patents have been awarded, with three others being filed. Also, we have begun to have earnest discussions with potential automotive partners to bring the technology forward. We do not have anything to report yet, but we expect more business development activities as the year goes on. And lastly, as reported earlier in the year, we received the air permit for a stationary standby generator system retrofitted with our Ultera emissions technology. The units are now being installed and are expected to be commissioned by the third quarter of this year. Since there weren't any material updates in this area, we've given Bob a break from his normally informative discussion on the emissions work and given him time to rest. But we will put out press releases as significant events occur, and Bob will give a more thorough discussion on the emissions technology next call. So turning to slide 7, it shows some of the drivers for our sales. As I mentioned, the Inverte E Plus offers unmatched economic benefits for CHP projects in our core markets. And the GE system gives our customers and our service staff visibility and information that assures the systems are running as expected. Our key relationship with ESCOs, property management companies, and project developers have yielded good quality repeat business that we will continue to grow in 2017. And the TT Cogen JV allows us to now sell in the markets previously unaddressable, such as large megawatt projects and biogas projects. Turning to our backlog on slide 8, our backlog at the end of the quarter was $13.6 million. Our earnings press release showed a backlog of $14.3 million as of Monday, May 8th, well above our guidance to maintain backlog over $10 million. I thought it would be helpful to note that after we recorded this number, just this week, we received a few significant orders, which increased our backlog to $17.5 million as of yesterday, May 10th. I thought this was significant enough to provide the updated number. And now that sales are progressing with TT Cogen, I can report that the backlog of products and installations related to the joint venture is an additional $710,000. Going forward, we will continue to provide a backlog number of Tecogen as well as TT Cogen joint venture as additional separate backlog number. As the pie chart shows, our backlog is a good mix of our core market segments, such as multi-unit residential, hospitality, education, healthcare, and industrial applications. Needless to say, we are quite pleased with the results of this quarter and hope to build on it throughout 2017. I'd like to now turn the call over to Dave, who will give some more detail on our financials. Then I will wrap up with some final remarks before we take questions.
Ben, Dave? I want to add something to what you just said. I don't believe that you realize that we are becoming almost a monopoly in small cogeneration and power generation facilities in the United States. And this is due to our technology and innovation and the sales and management effort of Ben Block and Bob Panora. With that, David.
Thank you. Here's some highlights of the year-on-year financial results. First, as Ben mentioned, the revenues, total revenues, increased 35% compared to the same prior period. Product revenues grew 24% compared to the same period last year, and the volume of cogeneration modules showed steady growth with the E+. While chiller and heat pump sales lagged this quarter, management expects those products to pick up for the remainder of the year. Total services revenue grew 44% compared to the same period last year and continued its steady growth, delivering well over half of our revenues for the quarter. The company posted an 18% increase in service contract and parts revenues on a year-over-year basis. This increase was the 17th consecutive quarter of year-over-year quarterly contract service revenue growth. For year-over-year comparisons, adjust to this seasonality of Tecogen service revenue. These long-term contracted maintenance and service agreements accounts for nearly one-third of the total company's revenue, providing a reliable, annuity-like revenue stream. Cost of sales and products continued to benefit from the improvements implemented in the E-Plus line of Inverde. The new product has cost-effective manufacturing processes and will continue to reduce costs with continued volume and growth. Service costs continued its improvement as the installation group focused on higher value-added services coupled with operational efficiencies from our maintenance and service experts. With combined gross margins over 40% and product margins over 37%, management is at the high point of our target range and the highest quarterly gross profit achieved since the start of public reporting in 2013. Gross margin improvement and expense reduction programs continue as management focuses on maintaining these strong margins in the future. And that is, of course, to note, we were profitable for the third consecutive quarter. Turning to slide 10, let's review the graphic charts that track our metrics. Starting with the chart in the upper left-hand corner, total revenue for the trailing four-quarter period is at $26.2 million. We expect this steady growth to continue. The chart on the upper right illustrates the growth of our gross margin, and as you can see, on a trailing four-quarter basis, management delivered a gross margin of 40% at the top of management's targeted range. We expect cross controls and sales initiatives to continue to deliver these margins. In the lower right is a chart of operational expenses. Management's effort to lower operating expenses continues and remains a focus going forward. And finally, in the lower left, the backlog chart plots our weekly backlog, currently at $17.5 million as of Wednesday, May 10th. This backlog is well ahead of management's goal to exceed $10 million in product and turnkey service revenue. And as a reminder, backlog does not include service contract revenues or sales of TEDM products by the TT Cogen team. The targets of the company remain the same. Management works to meet these goals and deliver these gross margins and backlogs targets that we have continued to maintain through this period. And with that, I turn it back to Ben Locke for closing remarks.
Thanks, Dave. In closing, I think 2017 will be a tremendously successful year for the company. Tecogen, from its very beginnings at Thermo Electron, has prided itself on technical and engineering expertise to create superior systems that provide energy efficiency, financial savings, and emissions reductions to many different types of products and applications. We now have the best-in-class technology, a sophisticated and informed customer base, and game-changing emissions technology that will help grow the company. All of our key financial metrics, revenues, margins, backlog, are trending in the right direction. Our product excellence continues to be improved on with the Inverde E+. And our emissions technology, both in the fork truck program and the Ultratech automotive work, creates substantial optionality for business development that has nothing but upside for the company. And the completion of the ADG acquisition upon approval will create a completely vertically integrated clean energy company with strong recurring revenues supplementing our existing revenues. As I stated at the beginning of the call, it's a great time to be a Tecogen shareholder. And for those ADG shareholders who will be joining us pending the shareholder vote, you should also feel excited about the long-term prospects of Tecogen and the shareholder value that we'll continue to unlock as we grow our core business and develop our emissions technology to ultimately contribute substantial financial gains for the company going forward. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the operator for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on a touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you decide you want to withdraw your question, please press star then two to remove yourself from the queue. Please note that participants will be afforded the time for one question and one follow-up. Additional questions or follow-ups will be accommodated as time permits. Our first question comes from Sameer Joshi with Rodman & Renshaw. Please go ahead.
Morning, Sameer.
Morning, and congratulations on all the progress. It's really good to see this.
Thank you.
I have a few questions about the Altera and then some gross margin and ownership-related questions. But for the fork truck market, what is the timing of that coming to market, and what are the revenues that you expect from that?
Yeah, we haven't projected any exact timelines for commercialization of that yet. You know, it's in the beginning stages of our, as I think I mentioned before, this is a PERC, the Propane Council funded effort. That program goes through the end of 17. So we have to accomplish those technical milestones before we start to project how we might bring it forward in a commercial sense.
Right. Okay. And the European testing, I think you mentioned that there was no additional testing that was done, but patents were filed. What are the next steps in this process? Can you remind us?
You know, that's where, unfortunately, not having Bob with us on the call today, is he could be able to fill you in a little bit more. I believe there might be some more testing planned for this year. I will have to ask Bob to get back to you separately on that. But for sure, a lot of the attention right now is focused on business decisions and how we might be able to bring this to a partner or bring this to some other type of entity to start to come up with a plan to actually commercialize it.
Okay. On the Southern California installations, earlier the guidance was that it should be completed by 2Q, but now it is overflown into third quarter. Was there any specific reason for that, or just
No. It took a little while to get the permit, and that was done, and that was a very important step. And now it is really simply mundane construction delays that's occurring at the site that pushed it out. So we don't think it'll go much beyond the third quarter, but that's simply the reason there. No other hiccups or issues.
Great. So on the gross margins, actually, we see quite a lot of improvement on the product side as well. Services gross margins are great, but what is driving the product gross margin, and should we expect this to be at these levels going forward?
So I'll start to answer that, and I'll ask Dave to fill in as he sees fit. But we're seeing a lot of sales of the Inverte AE Plus, as I mentioned in my prepared remarks. And that's great for a couple of reasons. Obviously, it's great for revenues, et cetera. But it's great because it allows our production floor to really get into a groove on an assembly-type basis, just kind of moving them down the line. Whereas when we have a more diverse product mix of some of our other CHP systems or heat pumps or chillers, as you can imagine, just the logistics of manufacturing, you start to see some inefficiency. So just kind of banging down the line with these cogen equipments just creates these kind of efficiencies to get the margins up.
And also to note, the higher volumes do allow us to have better purchasing power on some of our larger components and more expensive components. So we're able to drive down our cost on that too.
So going forward, I wouldn't want to restate what our guidance is for margin to be anything higher, because product mixes can change. As Dave mentioned, chiller replacement season is starting to come up in the fall. So that'll start to change margins around a little bit.
Right. And so that's a good segue into my backlog question. Is the backlog of 17.5, is that sort of same proportion of cogen and chillers that you have seen over the last 12 months? Or are you seeing more cogen?
I think there's some more chillers in there. I don't have an exact number for you, but I can say, the lack of chillers this quarter by no means, as Dave said, means that we're not picking up on chillers. Indeed, we are. Some of the markets that we're starting to get a little more orders on are things like indoor growing facilities, ice rinks, and working with engineering companies that do these projects and getting them to understand the economic and the benefits of TecoChill is a bit of a chore. It's real simple for people to just spec in an electric chiller, and it takes more of their time and brain power to understand a TecoChill. But once they get it, and once the utilities get it, it becomes very compelling. So I think we're going to see more chillers in the rest of this year. Without naming any specific projects, of course, when we get them all, we'll put out press releases.
Okay. Thanks for that. And one last one. The vote is coming up soon. And can you remind us how much, what is the ownership of TecoGen's management of ADGE?
I would refer you to the S-4 on that. I think that information is contained in there. I'd hate to give you anything that's off the top of my head, just given my memory. So please look at the S-4, Samir. And if you can't find it there, let us know.
Okay. The reason for that question is just to see how comfortable and confident you are on getting a yes vote on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to speculate on that.
Okay. Thanks
right.
so much.
Thanks, Samir.
Congratulations once again. Bye.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next question comes from Alex Blanton with Clear Harbor Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi, Alex.
It looks pretty good to me, but I'm wondering why you have stopped putting out releases on your new business. You mentioned you got several new contracts to drive the backlog up to $17.5 million, but we didn't see anything about what they are. I think the last release you put out was February 14th, which is 3 months ago, on new business, and yet obviously you're getting a lot. So what is the reason for the change there in the way you're communicating?
Yeah, Alex, I'll try to answer. We talk about this each quarter. Of course, I'm very careful about press releases and how it affects our competitive situation. I can tell you that some of the recent orders we have press releases brewing, but we really like to have, if we can get the customer to participate in the press release, That's always helpful. But that, of course, means that you have to go through the customer's approval process as well. And depending on who the customer is and how large or small they are, they have a process that's either very quick or very unwieldy. So navigating that is something, number one. And number two, to be quite honest with you, as you think, you know, Ariel moved on, and Ariel was tremendous. We haven't found a replacement for her yet. And she was very vigilant about doing the press releases. So the press release responsibility is kind of fallen upon us a bit now, and we're trying to do that as best we can.
Actually, this is John Antopoulos. I have interviewed a person that I believe is going to be a very capable replacement of Ariel. And the main reason I'm mentioning it to you, to me, is because it's somebody that you know, and I don't want to put it on the tape right
okay.
now. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway,
okay.
you'll see more press releases going forward.
Thank you. I understand it's time consuming, but even before Ariel, you were putting them out like every week or two, and suddenly it stopped. And I just wondered if you're going to renew that, because I think it's useful to keep people informed about what you're doing. The second thing is I can't locate the slides on your website. I'm wondering if they forgot to put them up there.
No, Alex, just simply click on the link. If you have the PDF of the press release, just click on the link, and that should bring you right to the slide. I tested it myself this morning. When you click on that link, it takes you to the Investor Relations page, which has our slides right on it.
I can't find that Investor Relations page. I went to your website. I couldn't find it. So I'll talk
okay,
to you
Alex,
later
we
about
should,
that.
Okay, Alex, we should take these things offline and try to allow others to ask some questions.
I will.
If you still can't find it, I'll call you later. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from Ralph Wanger from RW Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Great. Hi, John. This is a great quarter. My usual question, I think, is how are we doing at building up the sales force? I think you now have the gross profit margins in line. Season, we need to get out and spread the word.
Yep. You might have seen a press release earlier this year. We hired a guy specifically for biogas projects. As the TT Cogen joint venture, as I explained earlier, you know, none of Tecogen systems to date were able to work on biogas systems. It's just the nature of the engine, et cetera. So now having the ability to bring products into the biogas markets is tremendous. And those markets are expanding dramatically as people turn to zero waste reduction, you know, food collection, anaerobic digesters, municipal solid waste, the list goes on. But I'll tell you, it isn't anything that I have followed deeply, and certainly none of our existing salesmen knew too much about it. So we hired this gentleman, Walter Gray, who's got significant experience in the biogas area. When he got hired, Dave, what, in February?
February, yeah, late February.
Yeah, so we just added another very capable body onto the sales force. So I think we're in very good shape with our sales team right now.
How many salesmen do we have, and how many will it be by the end of the year?
I think our sales team right now consists of, this is always a difficult question to answer because some of our good salesmen are actually engineers. And when I call them salesmen, they don't like it. But I'd say we really have a dedicated sales force of around, you know, seven to eight people. Actively working on sales, add on Walter, that adds an additional one. So I think, you know, the team's right about, I'm comfortable where the team is right now. I think, as I've mentioned in previous calls, if a good candidate comes to me, I'd hire them. I mean, I'm not shying away from hiring more salesmen if they can bring in business. But I'm not at a point where I'm shorthanded and I need to hire somebody who may not be ideal.
Ben, have you added on that number the gentleman, that is an expert on on trucks?
Yeah, he's more of an engineer. If I called him a salesman, he'd really come after me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's for forklift trucks.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope that helps, Ralph.
Okay, I think seems to me that there's a lot of uncovered territory out there. Are you relying on existing independent distributors for a lot of business?
Yeah, generally what we do is, and I'm glad you asked, because it's probably good I give a refresher on this, is I have dedicated salespeople in areas where the markets are really strong. So, you know, New York, Massachusetts, the Northeast, I've got dedicated salespeople there, in California as well. Markets that are kind of, you know, middling economics. By economics, of course, I mean electric rates. I'll put a manufacturer's representative, a rep, there. So they're actively looking for projects, but I don't have to have a dedicated salesperson. So we've got reps, in New Jersey. We've got reps, you know, up and down the Eastern Seaboard. We've got a couple of reps, in the Midwest, but electric rates are very low there, very hard to come up with any projects. And that's the second tier of sales in areas where we don't have direct sales representation. And then the third is we have these project developer type sales agents, I call them. And these are, again, project developers, kind of entrepreneurs that are looking for projects that I've come to an agreement, formalized an agreement with them where if they find a project, they get a commission. If they don't, I don't pay them anything. So between the direct sales and the real good markets, the reps and the middling markets and the sales agents kind of sprinkle between. I think we've got everything covered pretty well.
Well, I think, I mean, we have some fraction of 1% of the available market right now, don't we? Like, there's a lot of upside for us.
Yep. Well, we're doing the best we can.
Okay. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Michael Zuck with Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Congratulations. Ben,
could you
give us an update on where we are in our efforts with the Elias product?
Absolutely. So we're continuing, of course, to push that pretty hard. I kind of alluded to this in the call a bit. But, you know, when you got a new project, a lot of times, especially with HVAC systems, HVAC, there's an embedded kind of methodology of these engineers that do these projects. Very seldom are you selling the project to an end person with chillers and with heat pumps. CHP, it's usually a direct-to-customer sale sometimes. But with HVAC systems, you always have engineering companies in between. And depending on their level of understanding and their ability to learn about new products depends on if you can get traction with it. So as I said earlier in the call, we're starting to get there with our chillers for some of these these different type of applications like indoor growing, rinks, et cetera. And we're getting good progress, I think, with the Ilios too. It just takes a little time. So I think you'll be seeing more Ilios orders. It's certainly not something that we've shuttered. I mean, it's a very active product, an important part of our product slate. It's just we haven't had any significant orders in the near term.
As a follow-up with that, on the McCrary Infrastructure conference call yesterday, McCrary indicated that they are participating in a massive effort in Hawaii to convert Hawaii to energy-efficient systems across the board, electricity, cooling, chilling, and hot water. Have we attempted to connect with McCrary? I mean, they're talking about billions of dollars in investing in Hawaii, and it's going to be based principally on natural gas and propane, which are the driving fuel sources for our systems. What's our effort in Hawaii? And I think we should be taking advantage of that.
Yes, it's a great point, Mike, and we are, in fact, quite involved with that. I can't give any details, but suffice to say that we're very aware of what McQuarrie is doing in Hawaii. We have a presence there. We have some products already operating there, and I hope you'll see more products going there for all the reasons that they mentioned and you just mentioned. It's because they want to get business away from HECO, you know, from Hawaii Electric, and so the more gas they can get, more gas-driven equipment they can get, the better off they are. So you're right. It's an excellent market. We are very aware of what McQuarrie is doing, and hopefully you'll see some press releases to that regard sometime soon.
And then from an engineering standpoint, the systems that we are now developing and engineering for, I guess, what I would call vertical farming or indoor horticulture. Are they adaptable to propane as well as natural gas?
Yeah, our systems can run on propane. The economic proposition becomes a little dicier there, given the cost of propane. But absolutely yes. And we've spec'd out projects where propane is the primary source. But these chillers, you know, I mean, that propane truck is going to be coming there once or twice a day, unless they've got very large storage tanks. But you're right, they can work on propane. The economics are a little trickier, but sometimes they're compelling enough, particularly if, I think as you're alluding to, if these facilities are not on a natural gas line and they're, you know, they're remote enough where they can't get three-phase power in there to run an electric chiller, that's a natural fit for us.
Well, congratulations on tremendous improvement going forward. And then just one last question for John. Will the integration or combination of ADGE into Tecogen, how quickly after the vote will the shares be converted to Tecogen? Do you have any timetable, John?
Yeah, actually, I think by we are supposed to complete this deal by a week from tomorrow, and immediately then, we start delivering. So it's a matter of the transfer agent and the U.S. Post Office. But you know, it's disgusting. I have not gotten my proxy, my personal proxy, because they were mailed out by a special firm that was doing this. I still haven't gotten it. It's in the U.S. mail, even though a lot of them people have gotten theirs. But anyway, we should be complete by a week from tomorrow and start mailing to all of you people that have voted us in immediately thereafter.
And then as a follow-up to that, will the ADGE shareholders be invited to the Tecogen annual meeting, which I think is in late June?
That it's up to the lawyers. I suspect so, but I don't want to answer that because I always find out weird things from the various lawyers. But if that's the case, I will.
Okay.
It depends what our lawyers tell us we have to do. You'd be surprised at the weird stuff that comes up off and on from the legal profession.
Well, anyway, congratulations for the progress that's been made year to date and look forward to continuing progress the rest of the year. Thanks.
Mike, thank you very much. But again, and that's why I kept repeating it, it's Ben and Bob that have done all this work. And we have basically become almost a monopoly for small cogeneration facilities because everybody that competes with us is missing a lot of our technology.
Okay. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Benjamin Locke for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. That's it from here. We thank everyone for joining the call, and we look forward to talking to you again at the end of next quarter.
Thank you. The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.